liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Well, this is an open line Friday for the books. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. I bet all you got to chime in on last night. The phone number, you want to be on the show, coast to coast, 877-973-7425. I got to tell you, I'm not going to start with Donald's speech. We'll get into it. We won't take as long to talk about it as he took to give it. I will say this out of the gate. It was a fine speech. We got to see Donald Trump doing exactly what the leftist said he couldn't do, be a little boring and somber and stay up past his bedtime working, something Joe Biden couldn't do. I think most Americans probably tuned in. They watched the first 30 minutes, him talking about the shooting, honoring Corey Campatore, and then they tuned out. They did not stay for the hour and a half. My goodness gracious, it went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Clearly was having the rally he intended to have on Saturday. In fact, asking them to pull back up the chart, saying, I didn't get to actually get a good look at it on Saturday for reasons. Everybody laughed at that. We will get to a speech, and I will take your calls as well, 877-973-7425. Text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. You can get the show notes, the live stream, the podcast, all of that. But we got to begin somewhere else entirely. If you get my morning email, I outlined for you what a Democratic strategist told me and then what other Democrats, senior Democrats, elected officials told me. You know, this is one reason everybody gets mad at me. Say, I can't believe you'd be friends with these people. You learn things when you're friends with people you disagree with. They're all convinced Joe Biden is going. They are convinced that the Democrats have to come up with a plan to avoid an open convention. And if they can go to Joe Biden, show him a plan to avoid an open convention, Joe Biden is going to drop out. They are convinced of it. They are convinced at this point that Biden's realization is he can't win. The reason they are convinced of it, from what I'm told, is that after Nancy Pelosi had a conversation with Joe Biden about the polling and he challenged her, she got Mike Donilon on the phone. And Mike Donilon is one of Joe Biden's most trusted inner circle advisors. And she and Mike Donilon talked about the polling. And it became clear at the end of the conversation that Donilon himself was not very confident about Joe Biden's chances of winning. Subsequent to the conversation, Joe Biden ordered swing state polling, which has now come back and does show Joe Biden not doing well. Now, Mark Halperin is a noted reporter from Washington, D.C. He's been around the bush. He's been around for a while. And he's got a Substack page you can pay thousands of dollars for. He's on Newsmax. Look, no Democrat, even the ones I talk to, and I respect and trust the ones I talk to, but they're not going to give me the Democratic playbook. They're sure as hell not going to give Mark Halperin at Newsmax the Democratic playbook. But he came out yesterday and he said Joe Biden's going to withdraw on Sunday, John Meacham, the guy who's on Morning Joe all the time, the historians, is writing his withdrawal speech right now. It'll be done Sunday. He's not going to endorse Kamala Harris. There's going to be an open convention. When he said open convention, forget everything else. When he said open convention, it's like, wait a second. Every Democrat I have talked to has said Joe Biden's one of his big concerns is an open convention. He'd far prefer Kamala Harris than an open convention. He doesn't want to leave. In fact, every Democrat I talked to has said he's still not made the decision to leave. They think he will. They think it'll happen no sooner than Monday. but he hasn't made the decision to do it yet. And then here comes Mark Halperin saying he's done it. The speech is being written. He's going to drop out on Sunday. Everyone's like, oh, my gosh, Mark Halperin says he's going to drop out on Sunday. Until John Meacham himself came out and said, this is BS. I haven't written a speech. I'm not involved in writing a speech. This is not true. I trust Bob Costa from CBS News and his sources more than Mark Halperin on this. Democrats, senior Democrats who know what's going on, they're not going to talk to Mark Halperin. Here's what I wrote this morning. And I want to, this is important for you to hear because I'm going to reiterate something some of you got mad at me for saying. This is the reality that everybody has to contend with, Democrats and Republicans alike. Joe Biden is the father of two drug addicts who abandoned his young sons after their mother was killed so he could go play senator in Washington. His favorite son died. His surviving son turned his dead son's wife into a crack addict. Joe's wife likes to play doctor teacher. This isn't a functional family capable of sitting Joe Biden down and saying, dear dad, it's time to retire. They don't want him to. So good luck with that. Democrats are convinced that he is making the decision. I don't know that he is. But I have a sneaking suspicion this is their Harriet Myers moment. I've told you all this story before. I know the guys who did this. I know, like, they are dear friends of mine. When Harriet Myers was George Bush's nominee to be a senator or to be on the Supreme Court, these Republican staffers on Capitol Hill, one of them, Chip Roy, now a congressman, started leaking unflattering stories about Harriet Myers. None of the stories were true. They were designed to take on a life of their own. They were designed to sabotage the nomination, designed to make Harriet Myers look out of her depth, not look great. Turns out she played to their stories perfectly. So because she played to the stories perfectly, the stories aligned. They took on a life of their own, that senators were appalled by her interviews, that she was way too liberal. They were very angry with George W. Bush. None of that was true at first, but it all kind of came to be, and she wound up withdrawing her nomination. They set the stage by lying to reporters with insider knowledge of things that had not actually happened. Reporters ran with it to sabotage her nomination. That sounds to me very much like Democrats are doing this. I don't think it's a coincidence that Joe Biden announces on Twitter, I'm sick. That's his actual tweet. I'm sick. He's got COVID. He's gone to Delaware to recuperate from COVID and self-isolate. And Democrats, while he's out in Delaware, it takes on a life of its own. And they say, oh, Joe Biden, we've got everybody there. He's convinced now he's going to drop out. He's setting the stage. He's going to drop out over the weekend. They're lining everything up. We're going to get a new convention. They're talking to Kamala Harris. They're feeling her out. Who's going to be her running mate? I think that's what this was. I look, I'm not going to tell you the Democrats I talked to. Some of them are very plugged in. Some of them really plugged in to the Democratic campaign apparatus, and they were all convinced he's going to drop out. One of them in particular, I know, has been involved in some of the research over the last week. But every single one of them, the ones who are convinced, they've told me he hasn't made up his mind. He's headed in that direction. He's asking the right questions. He's asking to see the data. The data is backing up his questions, where his mind is going, but he hasn't quite made the decision yet. And I just think we're going to get into a situation where these guys have overplayed their hand, lying, and Joe Biden's going to feel disrespected by the party. Because you got to remember, the people who are trying to push him out now, they didn't want him to run in 2016, and he felt disrespected then. In fact, this is part of the conversation. This is from MSNBC.
ABC News, the former president sees Biden's victory as, quote, getting harder, one of the sources said. The Washington Post reports former President Obama has said President Biden needs to seriously consider the viability of his candidacy. And with those comments, he... Willie, finds himself in a situation that is getting more grave.
Yeah, and the Biden camp, though, pushed back.
They did. The Biden camp offered some of the most aggressive pushback, with one source telling NBC News, quote, "Can we all just remember for a minute that these are the same people who are trying to push Joe Biden out, are the same people who literally gave us all Donald Trump in 2015, Obama, Pelosi, Schumer pushed Biden aside in favor of Hillary. They were wrong then, and they are wrong now." The source also pouring water on concerns over Biden's poll numbers, pointing to polling back in 2016, the election that showed Hillary Clinton leading Trump by as much as 9 points. That source adding, quote, "How did this all work out for everyone back in 2016? Perhaps we should learn a few lessons from 2016. One of them is polls are BS. Just ask Secretary Clinton. And two, maybe, just maybe, Joe Biden is more in touch with actual Americans than Obama, Pelosi, Schumer."
Oh, I mean, this is an all-out dim civil war. This is becoming public, attacking Obama, Clinton, Schumer, Pelosi. It's very notable. But wait, there's more. This is Mika Brzezinski.
"And started pushing back, and I think part of that is giving him the space to make this decision, to finish making this decision with his family this weekend."
"He's also a man of faith and a man of tremendous historic accomplishment. And look, it's impossible to ignore where this is going and exactly what started it. I'm not unaware of that. At the same time, I still believe that you don't know what you have until it's gone, and that there will be that feeling at some point.
You think there'll be, if he leaves the race, you think Democrats will regret it?"
"I do.
Yeah.
I do. Because among many reasons, which I've already stated and I won't state again, don't worry, but none of these notions are backed by a strong alternative, an alternative that has beat Trump before, an alternative that is vetted, an alternative that is tested. And so that's a lot to throw away."
That's Mika Brzezinski making the case for Biden's hand. Remember, he watches this show. Now, his campaign co-chair was on Morning Joe today.
Joining us now, chair of the Biden-Harris campaign, Jen O'Malley-Dillon. Jen, thank you for being on. So, what is the plan? Is Joe Biden still in the race? Does he plan to stay in the race? And if so, what's the plan?
Thanks so much for having me, Mika. And look, absolutely the president's in this race. You've heard him say that time and time again. And I think we saw on display last night exactly why, because Donald Trump is not going to offer anything new to the American people. He's the same person he was in 2020. He's the same person he was at the debate stage. He's the same person he is that is about himself and not about the American people. And Joe Biden is more committed than ever to beat Donald Trump. And we believe on this campaign, we are built for the close election that we are in, and we see the path forward. The president is the leader of our campaign and of the country, and he is clearly, in our impression and what we've built and in our engagement with voters, he's the best person to take on Donald Trump and prosecute that case and present his vision versus what we saw last night.
But what about the polling? They did ask her about the polling, and, well, this is what she had to say.
So Jen, what do you say to Democrats who say he can't win and that there are better candidates that can go out there and beat Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, look, of course, you know, I'm not here to say that this hasn't been a tough several weeks for the campaign. There's no doubt that it has been. And we've definitely seen some slippage in support, but it has been a small movement. And you know this. The reason is because so much of this race is hardened already. The American people know that the president is older. They see that. They knew that before the debate. Yes, of course, we have a lot of work to do to make sure that we are reassuring the American people that, yes, he's old, but he can do the job and he can win. And I think that that's really fundamentally what we're built for as a campaign.
Yeah, well, there's a new wrinkle in all of this. 1,400 black women and allies have released a statement. This includes some of the biggest black women in the Democratic Party: Carol Moseley Braun, Donna Brazile, Keisha Lance Bottoms, the former Crime Wave mayor of Atlanta, and others saying the Biden-Harris administration is running on a strong record of historic legislative accomplishments and a commitment to finish their agenda to improve the lives of Americans, protect our rights, freedoms, and democracy. We believe it is unfair and disruptive to judge President Biden for having a bad 90-minute debate performance against a serial liar who wants to destroy our democracy and be a dictator in chief. They are demanding the Democrats stick with Joe Biden. Racial politics entering the fray, a demand to keep Joe Biden from 1,400 black prominent Democratic women, and Democrats trying so hard to push Biden out. You know, Joe Biden even jokes about, quote unquote, getting his Irish up, meaning firing up his stubborn, angry streak. That looks like it's going to happen, and he just might now stay in because they overplayed their hand while he was out sick.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I went long last segment. My apologies. I will take your phone calls on the other side of the break. I got to tell you, my apologies. Just not that I had anything to do with it, but those of you stuck in airplanes this morning, I'm assuming y'all heard about this. It was not a hack. It was not a hack. In fact, Microsoft has been very explicit. This was not a hack. There's a security firm called CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike apparently tried to do some level of update, security update to Microsoft Windows. And it took out everything. Airports, airlines, hospitals, banks, other businesses globally. Now, there is a picture of the sphere in Las Vegas with the blue screen of death. That's not true. That wasn't it. But there are pictures of Times Square where all of the big jumbotrons in Times Square are dark. That is true. Airlines, one of the only airlines that wasn't affected, apparently from what I read, and gosh, maybe I shouldn't be saying this now, apparently airlines that had not upgraded their Windows software were not affected, but everybody else was. I'll just put it to you that way. All the current versions of Windows, it affected just globally. Banks, hospitals, airlines, airports, you name it, everybody taken off this morning. Now, I got to tell you, I mean, just look at this sort of stuff that's happening, and you got the economy. That's why Swiss America is warning about the secret war on cash and this interconnected global thing where the BRICS are buying up all the gold, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Swiss America has been warning about the secret war on cash. It will affect you. Swiss America is rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau. They can educate you on protecting your assets in their report about the secret war on cash. It takes less than 15 minutes to read. All you got to do is call or text my name, Eric, to 800-289-2646. Call and tell them Eric Erickson sent you, or just text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 800-289-2646. That's 800-289-2646. The war on cash includes digital forms of currency. Swiss America's report is completely free. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric to learn more, or call or text my name to 800-289-2646. One more time, 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number is 877-973-7425. This just in. I look forward to getting back on the campaign trail next week to continue exposing the threat of Donald Trump's Project 2025 agenda while making the case for my own record and the vision that I have for America, one where we save our democracy, protect our rights and freedoms, and create opportunity for everyone. The stakes are high and the choice is clear. Together, we will win. President Joe Biden. Additionally, this just in, this is Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats in the United States House of Representatives. Well, come on. So many people are suddenly online listening to this that here we go. Let's see.
President Biden, as I've said repeatedly, is our nominee. He has a tremendous track record of success. He's one of the most accomplished American presidents in our history. And he has the vision, I believe, the ability, the capacity, and the track record to make a case to the American people that will result in us being successful in the...
There you go. Hakeem Jeffries saying Joe Biden's the nominee. You got Donna Brazile out there telling Democrats you better circle the wagons around Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to be the nominee. Democrats are now scheduling their virtual roll call to lock in his nomination during the first or second week of August. It sounds like the machinations behind the scenes might have backfired. The problem is that the conversations don't go away. They're not going to go away. They're not going to go away because every time Joe Biden does something dumb now, says something, wanders across the stage or is sheltered in place so he can't do anything, everyone's going to speculate what's going on now. The most notable part of all of this, in all candor and honesty, the most notable part of what we're witnessing right now with the Democratic freakout over Joe Biden is how they're all trying to claim that they're caught off guard and so surprised and never knew it was happening. And members of the press as well, like, we had no idea Joe Biden had declined this badly. Surely they've just kept him so cloistered, so protective. What about the interviews? He's on a lot with Jonathan Capehart. He's done a lot of friendly interviews on MSNBC. Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, was saying just this is the sharpest Biden ever before that debate. And then we saw him at the debate, and now they're like, we got to throw him overboard. It's not just the Democrats, it's the media that have tried to cover this up. And now they're like, we got to do something. We got to throw him overboard. There's essentially a coup. They ran a primary process. They could have challenged him. They worked very hard to keep him from being challenged, and they attacked anyone who questioned his mental faculties. Jen Rubin of The Washington Post is on social media yesterday saying he's got to get out. We've got to stop Biden. I can't believe they're putting him through this. A few weeks ago when The Wall Street Journal reported Biden's mental decline, Jen Rubin was attacking The Washington Post when Joe Biden fell over the bicycle. And people on the right said it's a sign of something wrong. She attacked people on the right time and time and time again. These people who are now like, I can't believe he's this bad. We must get him out. They were like, there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden. You people on the right are lying. No, these people have tried to gaslight us for years. They've lied to us. They've bullied us. They've badgered us. Now they're all exposed and like rats fleeing from a ship. They got to jump overboard as quickly as they can to avoid being tied to Joe Biden's collapse and decline. But you know what the punchline is? He could still win. He could. It's still a very close race. I don't think he's going to, but he could. And that's why Joe Biden may just stay in the race. Now, to the phones. Scott, you're going to be the first caller. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Eric. It's pretty interesting about the King Jeffries coming out saying Biden's the one after the letter they just sent to him. I think it was what, Jeffries, Schiff, Schumer, and Pelosi.
Yep.
You think there's any chance we can see Pelosi rip that up on live TV? Like they did Trump?
Yeah, I doubt it. Speech? Yeah, well, yeah. Good.
All right, well, my question was, back years ago, I'm old enough to remember when Reagan was assassinated, and this, so that's two attempts in my lifetime on a president. The only thing I can really remember about any kind of a candidate or politician saying something really inflammatory is Obama. I don't know if it was him or Michelle several years ago said something about let them take the high road, we'll take the low road. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that one, but I mean, this is a man who told people to get in their neighbor's face and argue, told Hispanic voters Republicans weren't their friends but were the enemy, and told people take guns to knife fights.
I think there was something out there where he said something, let them take the high road, or we're not going to take the high road, let's take the low road. But anyway, I was just seeing if you could, any memories of any politician other than Obama becoming or putting out that kind of rhetoric?
Well, I think Donald Trump has himself said some inflammatory things on occasion. Nothing that should get him shot, nor would I think that Obama should get shot for inflammatory rhetoric. Bill Clinton, if you'll recall, back after the David Koresh situation and the Oklahoma City bombing, Bill Clinton accused Rush Limbaugh of being behind the Oklahoma City bombing. I'll never forget that. Blaming Rush Limbaugh and conservatives for the Oklahoma City bombing. Yeah, presidents say, some presidents, not all presidents, some presidents say outlandish things. And then the view of how outlandish you think it is your partisanship. If many, many Republicans will say Obama said more outlandish things than Trump, and many, many Democrats will say, actually, that's not true. Trump said many more outlandish things than Obama. They both said outlandish things. Neither one deserves to be shot at. What's just remarkable is that the lack of intellectual honesty from the left on any of this. It's just remarkable to see the Democrats spinning around on this stuff. Alan, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Love the show. And tell me if I'm not thinking quite properly, but is this what it looks like in the Democrat Party? Like maybe a fascist or a totalitarian type faction is taking over. I mean, they're trying to get Biden out, not based on anything other than polling, and right. The people are the one that voted him in the primary. So what do you think?
Yeah, look, I what's so funny here is that climate activists right now, as you and I are talking, Alan, have blocked the entrance to the DNC in Washington, claiming that they're trying to impose Joe Biden on the Democrats in an anti-democratic way. Now, there was a primary process. Certainly, they rigged the primary to make sure Biden would win. Dean Phillips challenged him, couldn't get any money, didn't challenge him. But there was a primary process. People voted. Joe Biden has the delegates. And yes, because of polling, because of public polling mostly, and rigged internal polling. Listen, if the public polling has a 2-point race and the Democrats' internal polling has a 10-point race with Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I don't actually I think that the internal polls are designed to try to scare off Joe Biden, and I think he probably knows that. Yeah, if the public polling and the private polling are diverged that much, and remember, the media polling in 2022 was actually the good polling. It was the GOP polling that was bad. The Trafalgar polling was the one that screwed up the polling average and made there look like there really was going to be a red wave when actually the media polls showed it had dissipated in August. What the Democrats are trying to do right now, though, is they had a primary process. They engaged in a cover-up. And now, because they've been exposed in their cover-up, they're now running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to do something. That's just the reality. And they are being anti-democratic at this point. They are plotting a coup within the Democratic Party. That's exactly what's happening there. Now, I gotta go back to something I said yesterday. Because I want Philip to get this pushed out today. Y'all, when we talk about the brokenness of Democrats or the press, this week with MSNBC has been exceedingly bizarre. It has been exceedingly bizarre, and I got to wonder if Brian Roberts is even paying attention. Brian Roberts is the chairman and CEO of Comcast. And as such, he is the ultimate boss to a network that is running pro-assassination fan fiction and conspiracy theories and being deeply dishonest with their audience. If you watched MSNBC any this week, and it was actually kind of funny to watch, you would have thought they were at the Republican convention. but they were not at the Republican convention. They had an LED wall behind them projecting an image of the convention to make it look like they were up in the press boxes looking down, and they weren't actually there. Jake Tapper on CNN poked fun at them.
So good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
First of all,
and you're actually here live.
We are here live, as opposed to some other networks that just have a big LED. Who shall remain nameless? So,
yes, they were there live. Now this is the weird part of this. Is the rhetoric at MSNBC for months now has been essentially calling on someone to assassinate Donald Trump, and you can't get away from that. At MSNBC, they have called Donald Trump an American Hitler, the rise of Hitler, a fascist, a would-be dictator, someone who's going to kill our democracy, someone who will wipe out American democracy and impose an authoritarian regime. Rachel Maddow has said, if Trump's not stopped, the plan of the Republicans is to wipe out the American democratic system. Michael Beschloss has been on multiple networks, network shows, saying Donald Trump is going to be a dictator. Democracy is on the ballot. Donald Trump needs to be stopped. But it goes beyond the fixation over someone's got to kill Donald Trump. It's been really, weird to watch. So, for example, you had this when J.D. Vance talked about J.R.R. Tolkien. Rachel Maddow, who claims to be a public intellectual, tried to twist it into a Nazi reference.
Like Mr. Thiel, who has named his companies after things in the Lord of the Rings series of J.R.R. Tolkien books. Lord of the Rings is a sort of favorite cosmos for naming things and cultural references for a lot of far-right and alt-right figures, both in Europe and the United States. Peter Thiel names all these things after Tolkien figures and places, like his company Palantir, for example. Like his mentor, like Peter Thiel, who had given him all his jobs in the world, Mr. Vance also, when he founded his own venture capital firm with help from Peter Thiel, named it after a Lord of the Rings thing. He called it Narya, N-A-R-Y-A, which you can remember because it's Aryan, but you move the N to the front.
You got that, Aryan? If you know anything about J.R.R. Tolkien, he hated Aryanism. He hated the Nazis. And she had to misspell the actual character in order to try to make it an Aryan reference. And then there's Joy Reid peddling conspiracy theories about the assassination.
Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas, the former White House physician for Presidents Obama and Trump, a scary thought in and itself, who's now obviously a Republican congressman, having parlayed that position into a job in Congress. Jackson is one of the few people I will know who apparently knows what's under that bandage that Trump has been wearing at the convention. He says he replaced the dressing on Trump's ear on Sunday during the flight to Milwaukee, telling the New York Times, quote, "The bullet took off a little bit of the top of his ear in an area that just by nature bleeds like crazy. The dressing's bulked up a bit because you need a bit of absorbent. You don't want to be walking around with bloody gauze on his ear," unquote. And that's all we really know about Trump's injury.
That's all we really know. Hint, hint, it didn't happen. And then, of course, there's what's her name, who was upset about J.D. Vance saying he wanted to be buried in the family plot, that was actually an Easter egg to white supremacy. What does Brian Roberts, the CEO of Comcast, think about this network? They've been wishing for someone to kill Donald Trump. Now that he was shot, they're lying, claiming he possibly wasn't shot. They're lying about white supremacy. They're lying about being at the Republican convention, lying to their viewers, spreading conspiracy theories. You know, a third of Democrats, according to new polling, a third of Democrats believe Donald Trump staged his own shooting. And they're MSNBC viewers. You've had multiple assassination attempts in this country from MSNBC viewers. What is Brian Roberts doing with his network? When will someone ask Brian Roberts what he thinks about this network that has descended into insane conspiracy theories and wishful thinking over killing Donald Trump? It's really bizarre, and there needs to be some accountability. Maybe he needs to fire up an Eden Pure Thunderstorm and clean the air at MSNBC. You know, you can get three of them for less than $200 and save $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. All you do is use the discount code ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. You'll see the discount code box. You put in ERIC3. You get them. They generate O3 ozone that spreads through your area where you fired up the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, goes in the nooks and crannies and finds the odors and eliminates the odors. So I'm headed up to one of my favorite happy places, Barnsley Resort, in a couple of weeks. They cottages have fireplaces in them, and they run the Eden Pure Thunderstorm if people have fired up the fireplaces to get rid of the smoky smell, and they work. It just wipes out the odors. A restaurant that I go to regularly, Hibachi Place, uses the Eden Pure because it's a brilliant air purifier. It wipes out those odors. You can get three of them for less than $200. You save $200. You go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use the discount code ERIC3. You'll get three of them upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's that small, and it packs a wallop, and it's filterless, so you don't have to keep buying filters for it, and it just works. EdenPureDeals.com, discount code ERIC3.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. My goodness, my sister just texted. My nephew is in the Air Reserves and is headed home from training. He passed his test, got the top dog award, and due to all the CrowdStrike system outages, he is stuck in Charlotte, North Carolina. Doesn't think he's going to make it back to Mississippi. Goodness. By the time I was able to drive up there, you just know. In any event, pray for my nephew. Hope he gets home. Okay, I got to play you this audio, but first, this hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you're buying a building or building a building, or you need a big equipment loan, they can move fast on this stuff. Particularly if you have great credit, you can move fast. Any one of you nationwide for your business, reach out to them. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. I got to play you some of this. This is Harry Itten on CNN.
Of Joe Biden's deficit to Donald Trump. So what we have here is every single day of the 2024 calendar year, Joe Biden has been trailing Donald Trump 100% of the days. On any day you take a national average, Joe Biden has been trailing Donald Trump. Compare that to where we were back in the 2020 campaign, where every single day up to this point in the campaign, Joe Biden was ahead of Donald Trump on 100% of the days.
Oh, really?
Exactly. So it's the complete and polar opposite of where we were 4 years ago. The fact is, Joe Biden's very well known. Donald Trump is very well known. And the voters have been very consistent on how they feel about this race. They may not love either one of the candidates, right, but the fact is, at this particular point, they have consistently said that they would prefer Donald Trump to be the next president as opposed to Joe Biden, which is the total and complete opposite of what we saw 4 years ago.
Now, you gotta understand this, because the Democrats now want to say Biden had a bad debate, he needs to go. It's not that Biden had a bad debate. It's that Biden hasn't led in the polls at all this year, and Donald Trump tends to underperform his polling. That's what's going on here. By the way, breaking news, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has just come out and said Joe Biden is it. Do not change the nominee. She will demanding the party stick with Joe Biden. So he's made a deal with the progressives to stay in. When we come back, Donald Trump's speech.